Hello, everybody. This is Terry Laundrie with the T-Theory Observations for Sunday, August the 8th, 2010. Today's presentation is in two parts, as usual. In the first part, we're going to look at the basic forecast for the equity market, the S&P 500, usually is what we use. And we're going to use the envelope theory in the first chart for this segment. And then my advanced decline T program, which I'm working on with a programmer, is now beginning to reach the point where we can start to add other things to it. But we've just sort of cleaned it up for this presentation to look at the 66 to current time period relative to the expectation that the market is trying to recover into a late August, around August 26th, projected peak. Which may not be as high as the April peak that traditionally the analysis will show there should be a double top, because you have a reflection from the double bottom in the late 08, early 09 time period. I don't know whether it's going to be able to make it up. The news is really quite bad, and we saw on Friday a relapse in the market. However, those kinds of erratic moves tend to confuse people, so I'm just going with the envelope theory as our first chart. So let's take the first chart here, and that is going to be of the it says Terry Laundrie's T-Theory short-term chart and data is the title. It shows the envelope bands in the upper part, which is what we're mostly interested in, and we see the highs tend to develop around the upper envelopes, which I discovered using an energy conservation principle. It's discussed in the archives using a pendulum as a sort of way to look at the energy. You can go back there and look that over. I'll get around to putting all that stuff in one place at some point. And then we have the green line at the envelope at the bottom, which are the major lows occurred, and you see that the if you look at the left end of the chart, the March 9th low, which is the beginning point for the bull market in terms of the popular averages, is on the green line. It didn't make it into this chart, but that's to illustrate that the green line is a low point. You also have that in the early February, and then you have a bunch of retests, the last one being in the right at the beginning of July, and we are fighting our way up with resistance against the midpoint between the red line and the green line is a black line, and that's where you have a tendency to have support. If you're above it and you're in a bullish trend and you come down to it, you get a support there, and if you're in a bearish trend like you were in recent months here, when you come up you get an R for resistance. I will have this chart expanded in about 2 or 3 months, so we can look for 2 or 3 years, and I will have the R's and the S's and the H and the L's all permanently part of the things to make, so I can make a better decision on it, better explain it. Down at the bottom we have a simple advanced decline oscillator, which is basically the slope of the advanced decline line, which is not shown here. Actually, if you know what the momentum is, you don't need to see the advanced decline line too much, except to say that we'll see that in the next chart, but it's basically ran into a problem on Friday, partly because of the jobs news was negative, but also because it's up against resistance. If you look in this chart, you'll see that you have good upside momentum in the oscillator, with the blue momentum oscillator, which has come up. I pointed out that if you put a T back in the mid-May time period and you go back and pick at the left end up in March, you'll find out that you're seeing the peak in the oscillator reading has passed us. That's the peak momentum. However, that doesn't mean that the market can't continue to go higher. It just has to do it in a jerky manner. And for that reason, I believe that you're fairly lucky if you can get up to the red line on the S&P 500, because this rally with a lot of wiggles in it is a sign of distribution. It's weakness, basically. And you still get support at the black line, so that there's not too much you can do. So Friday you were down, and then you recovered back up. You can see in the table that's underneath the data that the arms ratio is generally got positive numbers, except for the first one is 0.038, but that's going to disappear on Monday, and you probably won't get a low number, so that won't look like it's terribly bad. The advanced decline line, the advanced decline line oscillator can actually work itself a little bit lower while the market stays holds fine, and then when it gets oversold enough, you'll get a rally, you'll see the market break to new highs again. Probably not up to the red channel, but we have plenty of time going into the latter part of October, latter part of August. And Christina passed on an observation that Peter Eliades is looking for a top at the end of the month. Some he has really big cycles that come from very long periods of time, and he's looking for something in the late August to very early September time period. So maybe we're both wrong, but I think that what's going to happen is you're probably going to make the top there. It's just going to be disappointing because the fundamentals are so disappointing. And, all the technical people say that you don't want to look at the fundamentals, but, I mean, everybody else is looking at the fundamentals. And unless the Federal Reserve can pull a rabbit out of the hat with some new scheme that is going to be believable, that it doesn't involve running a deficit further higher, I would think that it's just going to kind of come up towards the red upper envelope. We're just going to have to, at some point, just call it quits for the whole thing as far as the time symmetry is concerned. Okay, so I don't think there's any reason to belabor that point, because it's much more informative to move on to the next chart, which is the advanced decline tease chart, which is a probably my major undertaking for the future. Because the 66 to the current history just shows the New York Composite Index against the advanced decline line, but we are setting up the program to take everything, gold bonds, junk bonds, and others in the database that you plot, so you can make many different kinds of charts from it, and instead of showing this whole long term period, I can reproduce all the data that's in the previous chart. In other words, I can make daily charts. But instead of doing them for 13 months, that previous chart was for 13 months, I'm going to do it for 26 months. Because your the typical bear market, which we should be entering a bear market after August 26th, lasts for 17, 18 months. So you really want to be able to see the full left side of a bear market when you're talking about T's, because the chart that we have up there is not sufficient to show many things that just get out of the picture. You don't have to be able to do the 66 to 2010 business. That's a little bit long. But you do have to do something that's a little longer than 13 months. So we'll get into that part. A couple observations in this chart here, which I have to add some notes to it. But you see the advanced decline line, which is the blue line at the bottom. From 68 to 74, it shows a modest decline, and then that modest decline is about 6 years across the two tops, and that's the left side of T2, and it projects a top an equal 6 years in the future. That comes up in September 1980, which is correct for the New York Index. Actually, the New York Composite, advanced decline line was much weaker than it's shown in there. It went off the bottom of the chart. So what I did is I compressed that. The whole period from 68 to 80 has actually been scaled into a compression just to keep it from going off the bottom of the chart. I had to put that disclaimer in, because if anybody looks back at the advanced decline line in this time period, you'll find out that it's an obvious distortion. But since T's only work in time symmetries, or equal time symmetries, as long as you don't distort the fact that the tops are descending, it doesn't make any difference as far as the time projection is concerned. The rest of it is all pretty normal. I do have I do show that we're splitting the double bottoms here, and what we're doing is we're going for the August 26th peak. But if you move the center post of the T13 and T12 back to the first bottom, you'll get a conservative estimate, and the conservative estimate is in many respects something that's to be preferred. So when I make this plot, sometimes I think I'm going to make it as a variable. I can shift the T's back and say that it was the early bottom, which is the conservative tee, because you, whenever you make a double top, you want to know about the first one, because then you can trade the second one. If you're waiting for the second top to show up, you get caught in this sharp trend, I'll mention the arms ratio from 1940 does show that high arms readings are often associated with these multiple tops. In other words, the market comes up and it can't quite make it to the end of the tee, so it has this selling climax, which shows up as a one-day arms ratio, very high number, and it can be interpreted as being very bullish because it was a very bearish event. But what it is just a rally back into a top phase, and therefore is not as bullish. It's a recovery, but it's not a reason to be wildly bullish because it is a top phase. If you get a decline and then you get a selling climax with a high arms ratio, then that means that the bottom is coming. But usually it's just the first bottom of a double bottom, so it's a plenty good warning. So I did learn that as one of the viewers sent me in that history. It is true that when you've had an extended run up and you get a high arms ratio, it means you're just getting a recovery and it's not bullish for the long term or anything like that. Okay, so I get these questions. I keep getting these questions from people that must be coming from some other world. They don't know anything about tee theory, and they say, "Isn't it bullish that the advanced decline line keeps going up?" So I have this this red line, which shows the rising bottoms from the advanced decline line. The advanced decline line is the blue line. Okay, so it's made a peak at 94. They made a higher peak at 98. It made an even higher peak in 07, and now it's even made a higher peak, okay? Well, it turns out that because the basis of T-theory is a cash buildup phase, and you need a declining tops pattern, which is the green lines in here, making higher highs in the advanced decline line tends to kill off the potential for what we call overlapping Ts. You can see that after the 87 crash, you get T5, T6, T7, and then which overlap with very minimal declines because it's defined only as a cash buildup phase, any way you can draw it. And then you don't do too much at the end of T7 for as far as the New York Composite Index. Then you get T8, and then T9 overlaps it. See, so you can get. It looks like you can spin straw into gold because the definition is only that T8 has a sharp downside cash buildup. You come up to the end of the peak, but then it breaks out of a little dip back there, and you get the right side of T number 9, and it keeps going up. So it turns out that as long as the advanced decline line is not doing too much on the upside, you can keep regenerating Ts. And in this time period, the beauty was that you could just keep, everybody was making money in the stock market, and you could just keep regenerating these Ts because the advanced decline line was relatively subdued and allowed you to do these overlapping Ts. But then look what happens. In 74, you get, in 94, you get the T8, T9, and then the advanced decline line breaks way up high, and what do you get? You get a couple of dinky little Ts, and then you go into the 2000 peak, which basically wiped out all the technology traders going into the 02, late 02, early 03. Then the advanced decline line really blows up, and 07, things look great. You know, how isn't it wonderful that you get into 07 and the advanced decline doing as real well, and they wipe out all the other investors on the theory that maybe the advanced decline was good, but what it does is it prevents you from making new tea. He says, and you come crashing down to the 08 low. Now the advanced decline line has gone to a new high, and somebody sends me a little and says, isn't it bullish that the advanced decline has gone to a new high? Isn't it going to be bullish that this advanced decline line is going to make a new high by the time we get to April 26th? The answer is no. It says, if you read your slanted text that I put in there, rising tops in the 80 line aggravates bear markets by killing cash buildups. You can't make a cash buildup. So when we find out that this blue advanced decline line here, which is making a double top right now, is made a new high, you're going to have to start making a new cash buildup phase, The new cash buildup phase minimum is 18 months. And because it's going to be coming from a new high in August, we think, then you got to add 18 months to August. Too bad you didn't leave the advanced decline line down so you could at least count from April. And that's the reason for this, as I explained in a previous update or observation, is that you can't generate a bull market until you have the money in hand from the cash buildup phase to fuel the new bull market. Current thinking by the Federal Reserve is you can put stimulus money in and make a bull market, or either economic or market-wise, generate out of nothing. Okay, and what they've come up with, they've come up against the fact that you can't make something for nothing. Okay, they borrowed too much money. You could have done that many years ago when you had a sound economy, and you know you weren't spending money on wars and sending all your manufacturing to Asia and other things. But this is a clear case of an entity, which is basically the U.S., which has spent all of its money, and it is trying to borrow its money. It's trying to borrow its way out of problems, and it doesn't have any credit. It's not a credible case. It doesn't really have any credit. So there's speculation that the Federal Reserve is going to start working on bonds. And of course, the next topic is on gold, which is another way to save money. But basically, what it is that people that just live by borrowing turn out to be poor in the end, and you've got to start to fix this by having people save. And they won't figure that out until the year 2020. So this rising trend here is just a big super negative, any way you want to interpret it, for the future. Of course, if you own something and you're trying to get up to August 26th, or the end of the month, or whatever Peter Eliade's forecast is the end of the month or early of September, you want to see it go up to new highs. But it's just basically a depletion of taking people who are spendthrifts and trying to get them to go all the way up. Now, people point out that the reason for this is probably, or possibly, the fact that there's inclusion of income stocks in here, which sort of act like bonds, and because there's a preference to go into that kind of in other words, you need to save money. Generally, saving money isn't putting money in a passbook savings account anymore. It's putting money from growth stocks into income stocks, or from income stocks to bonds, from bonds into treasury bills, and then from treasury bills maybe go to gold. Whatever that movement is, it means that you don't spend money. So it's really a consumption versus savings argument. And what's going to happen now is, if you adopt the idea that this is being inflated by income, because income is doing well, and obviously growth is not doing well, then you've run yourself up to the conclusion that the ultimate saving is people are going to have to shift from consumption to savings, and when they do, growth completely disappears. And we got a taste of that in the 08 decline, and when you finish this one, you're going to see a taste to it based on the 40-year cycle, which I'll get to in another couple of weeks, and take you down to 03, late 02, early 03. And then you're going to have to go down to 06, to 13, 12 or 13, 2012, late 2012, early 2013, or around 2016, another bottom, which is going to be lower. You'll be down around the 5,000 level on the Dow by then. And then you're going to have to go through a period of possibly another 5 years of building a base down there, which would be similar to the 74 to 82 base. And it won't be until you get into the 2020 time period, or a little bit later than that, after the gold peaks out in 2020, long range T for gold peaks out in 2020, maybe in that year 2021, 2022, something like that, you'll get a new mega T, and that's where you make all the money. the trick on that one is not to lose the money on the way down. But even if you do, it may turn out you're going to be dead by the time you get there, so you'll never see it. See, so it's bad all the way around. Okay, well, on that positive note, we will conclude our topics on the equity market, which is basically a loser, and we'll turn and be back in a moment, and we'll go on to the various bonds and golds, which is the second part of the topic for today. Thank you.